I forgot how the podcast. What's up, everybody? We're actually podcasting.
We're back and better than ever.
Back this is, from our hiatus.
Was it a hiatus? It wasn't a planned hiatus. It was just kind of like a lazy hiatus, I think. Well,
we're sorry for standing all of you up.
All of you 10 people? So sorry to disappoint you guys.
Sorry for standing y'all up. no, I mean, we actually did podcast several times throughout the course of the past. How long has it been? It's been months.
It's been at least since... We podcasted once when we first moved into our new place in July.
Dang.
And then after that, we didn't podcast at all during August. We didn't do it at all during September. It's been a good month and a half, I would say.
Yeah, so point being, we tried the podcast, but every episode we did just blew up in our face.
Yeah, if for some reason, you know, it's like that thing with like writer's block when you're a musician, you can't like figure out a song or you just can't go past the point. It's like we didn't feel like it was good enough to put on the internet or it had some content that shouldn't be put on the internet.
Not only that, but some people, you know, we did not feel like the content should even be put out. And then two, technical difficulties. We had two episodes that we recorded where we talked for about 35 minutes into the episode and then it just stopped recording. So,
I completely forgot about that.
I think we had like an hour and a half episode and it ended up not recording like the last hour. So,
well, we do need to get a Geography Joel back on here. We did try to do a segment with him.
We tried it three times since his first episode.
We've learned our lesson. This is what we cannot do with him. We cannot do it at night past 8 o'clock and we cannot do it after having some choice liquids.
Yes, definitely
but,
cannot.
But I mean, that's not all that's been going. There's been a lot that's been going on recently in our lives.
Yep, there has. Well, the move.
The move was big.
Coming into our new place, like actually trying to make it home. Work.
Yeah. Jason's got a new bow.
Yeah.
That's spelled B-E-A-U-X.
Oh.
Bow. I think that's how you spell it. I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
It means like somebody close to your heart. Okay. And like it's like a German thing.
Sure. Sorry, I'm red-blooded. I almost died. I'm red-blooded American.
Yeah, yeah. I almost died.
Yeah, Isaac almost died. Yeah, I should have.
I really wanted to. No, I'm just kidding. I really tried
to die.
I mean, I went down to my beach house that I own, you know, and I was just keeping that up, and you know, I got diagnosed with COVID on a Tuesday, and that Thursday, we ended the trip early, came back to Dallas, and as some of you know, I'm diabetic, and I went into a few things. I went into, like, almost diabetic shock, basically, is what it is, but it's called, I can't remember the freaking name of what my own condition is.
Ketoacidosis?
Ketoacidosis. Oh,
Asperger's?
Yes, Asperger's syndrome. There we go. I got Asperger's from diabetes and COVID at the same time. If you mix those, that creates Asperger's syndrome, if you did not know.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Are you a doctor?
Yeah, Dr. Isaac. That's a new segment. You know, just stayed in the hospital for like a week and quarantined for a week. And there, dude, it was awful.
But here he is.
I'm here and I'm sucking down mimosas, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the Tipper Tangent. We're back, baby. Okay. So what you guys just heard in the intro was a track by Hot Mulligan. And we're going to take a look and dive into some of their work. Isaac actually put me on to this group. They're, what would you describe them as? They're not exactly pop punk, but they're a little bit of that Midwest emo / alternative rock.
This is Hot Mulligan. Is what I like to call a Denton band.
Okay.
I would guess they're a college town band. That's what I would say that they are. And for the people who are in our area and know who we are and like know where we live, Denton is like super, how would you describe Denton? It's like I mean, it's a jazz, it's like a jazzy society around there, but it's also
very artsy.
It's very artsy. And I guess, you know, the typical
urban artsy
college sound, you know, I mean, these guys sound like they do have a lot of Midwest emo in them. And if you don't know what Midwest emo is, it's literally just like a really,
it's a niche within, like punk music.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like talking about, you know, like, you loved me and now I'm broken and I can't do this anymore and I hate my life.
Yeah, so that's where the emo comes from, but the Midwest is kind of like this this rock influence in the South that is predominantly. So like, you know, your Oklahoma City bands, you got people from Kansas, you got people from Texas, like that's what the Midwest kind of feel is.
There is something that stands out a lot in this genre, and it's the guitar picking. There is a lot of guitar picking.
So to throw other artists that would be considered that, I would say Intuit Over It. I would say Modern Baseball.
Tiny Moving Parts
for sure.
Go check them all out. I mean, it's something that you have to train your ears to like. I will say that.
And as you guys could tell from the sound of the vocalists in the track that we played, it's singing, but it's very harsh, like he's like yelling singing.
Yeah.
So it's a very specific sound. Not all Midwest emo bands have that sound, but that's kind of why we're highlighting Hot Mulligan in general because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But another key factor in Midwest emo is singing about childhood and family and friends and like past experiences. It's a very nostalgic type of music genre.
Yeah, I mean, you could go anywhere between hearing lyrics about laying out on a hill, making out with your high school crush next to like,
my parents left me and I'm mad.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, 35 and I'm still mad that my parents left me.
Or like 35 and I miss the good old days, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff, yeah. I mean, one thing reverts back and it's always talking about high school or city. That's two things. Talking about high school and the relationships that you've had in high school and how awful they were and how much you hated high school and your parents. Or sitting on a front porch. Or sitting on your back porch with your friends.
Yeah.
That's something that is always in lyrics for Midwest emo.
And it's all about friendship. Like, yes. It's always like, my girl broke my heart, but I still got my friends. You know, a lot of it's that too.
Well, that's also, when you get into, like, I still got my friends, you're also getting into like normal punk pop.
Yeah. Yeah, so but it's still like a niche to where, like, it's more of like the emo and of course the whole Midwest influence in the music sound. But yeah, Hot Mulligan, honestly, I have only really jammed one of their records, and that's the one that you put me on.
I mean, if I were to give anybody a album to listen to by Hot Mulligan, it'll be their You'll Be Fine album, which is the 2020 album. This is definitely their COVID masterpiece. They put a lot into this.
And this is where I came in the picture and started listening to them. I didn't actually realize how recent that release was.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm digging this record for sure. It's got some jams. Like, of course, all their hooks are super catchy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, did you hear that? My voice just cracked, like, awfully.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it. But yeah, all their hooks are really catchy and their guitar work's fine. Yeah, it's really good.
Their guitar work is fine. It's okay.
I mean, like, I've heard some of their older stuff, and they actually do the whole Modern Baseball style, which anyone who knows anything about guitar, it's a whole bunch of hammer-ons and pull-offs, and the guitar is probably capoed, and they're tapping and doing all the stuff. Mm-hmm. They definitely had that sound. And this one, it's more of your traditional, like, you know, major ninth chords.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they do, it works, and it's catchy, and it's fantastic. A few songs off of the You'll Be Fine album. Listen to number two, number three.
Oh, wait, here's another thing that these types of groups do. All of their song titles are funny and don't make sense.
That is true.
Yeah, my favorite song off this record is Equipped Sunglasses. Like, it's got an asterisk. Like, the song is called Putting Equipped On Sunglasses. Basically.
Like, it's like you're reading a script.
Yeah, it's got asterisk, like, Equipped Sunglasses. So that's my favorite song off the track.
Mine would have to be Green Squirrel in Pretty Bad Shape.
Or my favorite song off the album. Yeah, so a title like that. And then they have another song called Feel Like Crab, but feel is spelled wrong.
F-E-A-L.
Yeah, so if you guys just look them up on your music platform, you could see for yourselves. But yeah, we just wanted to touch on them and you know, and highlight them, recommend them. If you're into that sound, or if you're not into that sound, maybe just give it a chance.
Sure. Yeah.
It's pretty rocky.
Open it up.
To me, it feels like it's summer. Roll down my windows, jam
for
some
sure.
of this
yeah.
this rock, mm-hmm. and drive around. That's how I feel when I listen to them.
Yeah, man. It's so good. So moving on, Jason. Now that we're past our artist spotlight here, let's talk about our high school experiences.
Okay.
Since we talked about Midwest Emo, and we were sitting in the car, was it on Sunday? I think it was Sunday when we were talking about podcasting, and we're just like, man, we need to get back into this, and we need to do it again.
Well, actually, we were sitting there, and we were talking about old memories from high school. Because, we were talking about Hot Mulligan, and we're like, wow, like, they're singing about high school like all these other bands. And then we started talking about our own moments. We're like, wait, this would be good for a podcast. Oh, wait, we have a podcast. We completely forgot. Yeah, so let's talk about some high school memories.
Cool. I mean, dude. There's so much.
We've done so many stupid things in high school.
I know. I will say this, though. I feel like I wasted at least 3 years, freshman through junior year. I really
wasted?
I feel like I wasted it.
What do you mean?
Like, dude, I was just not... I was so hung up on a girl, you know? Like, it was so dumb. I wish I could go back and just slap around my younger self was just like, spend more time with your friends or go like have crazy memories, go to a few more parties, like why not, you know, or like just do something stupid, you know. Granted, I did do a lot of stupid things in high school, I just feel like my high school career could have been just so much more lively. I think
honestly, like, parties are overrated, high school's overrated. Like, you know, have you ever seen a TV show that is about high school?
Yeah.
In like Hollywood's depiction of high school?
Dude.
It is nothing like real life. Well, first of all, we've already talked about this on the podcast before, but every actor who portrays someone in high school is like 28. Like, they are a teenager or 19. Like, they're all like 28 years
old. And it's like every episode or every like season, somebody gets pregnant in a high school series.
Always.
That's not that often.
Okay.
That happens. Okay. There were at least two or three pregnant girls in our high school.
During our career. Well, dude, I know people who dropped. I know dudes who dropped out of high school because they got someone pregnant.
Yeah. And take their GED and just like go take care of the family. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Sure.
I mean, We're getting too far off topic of what we want to talk about, Jason.
No, it's a part of it.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I can't really, like, what's a famous high school type drama for? I'm trying to think.
I mean, you've got the dumb jock and the nerdy band girl or the math class. You know,
those are the stereotypes in Hollywood. Is Riverdale one of those? I never really saw that.
I've never watched Riverdale, but let me tell you what I am watching. I'm watching Friday Night Lights.
Of course, is that a high school?
It's so reminiscent of high school, man. Like
high school football.
Well, it's high school football. It's high school drama. It's got Michael B. Jordan in it, actually.
What the?
Yeah, I didn't know he was in that. But I'm binging that because I finished Grey's Anatomy finally.
Oh my gosh,
that was rough. But yeah, Friday Night Lights, dude. Because I was a football player and I was under the Friday Night Lights every now and then. It was like, this just feels so good. Like, I really do miss being young again. Like, the aspect of being in high school, like, bro, I was looking at pictures of us. Like, this like talk made me think about what we looked like back in high school, bro. We were so skinny.
Yeah, we were.
That it was not funny.
Yeah.
Like, it made me depressed looking at myself in the mirror now.
Oh my God.
Compared to school.
High school, I was just, I mean, we're getting off topic again, but man, I was so tiny in high school. I glowed up on my, what was it, sophomore year of college.
Sophomore year.
That was my prime. That's when I was hitting the gym every day that summer.
Yeah, dude, we had a picture of the house bash that we did, and bro.
Just so tiny.
We were so tiny. And then we hit the gym, and then we drank beer. We got that delicious beer.
That our metabolism just slowed down. But anyway, so Isaac, what's something crazy that you've done in high school? Did you ever sneak out?
Did I? Okay. Here's the thing. My parents weren't the strictest parents.
Okay.
They trusted me. I was not the kid who always did bad things. I really wasn't a bad kid. I didn't go out. I didn't do drugs. I didn't smoke. I didn't, you know, go to parties all the time. I was kind of like the stereotypical, like, good boy, you know? Like, everybody thought, I was like, oh, don't ask Isaac that because he won't do it, you know? It's like, he doesn't stoop to that level. And I didn't. My dad made sure that was clear, like, on standards, you know? But they were like, just tell us where you're going. And I did that for maybe like a year. I told them where they're going. And then I was just like, I don't need to tell them where I'm going. I'm just going out and I just walk out the front door. And they wouldn't question it. They really wouldn't that often. I mean, granted, most places that I went was probably just to like my girlfriend's house in high school and then back to my house to sleep and go to school again. But no, there wasn't any time I snuck out, but I did do a few things with some buddies. There was one time. It was summer of freshman year. It was coming to an end, and we kind of just like we're just chilling out, going to football practice and stuff. We're just like, let's do something freaking stupid, and so we did. We went to the pool at a place called Stewart's Peninsula over in the subdivision that I lived in, and it was me. I'll name a few names. It was Blake Clark, let's see, Jacob LaChance, and Jake Hood, if they ever listen to this shout out. But
you're naming all these names?
I mean, it was in high school. They're not going to do anything to us anymore, so whatever. But I do remember that we were swimming in the Stewart's Peninsula pool, and we didn't know the lifeguard, but the lifeguard was cool, and we were joking around with him, and we told him we were on the football team and stuff like that. And somehow we found ourselves alone at the pool after the pool was closed at dark. And so we're just like, let's do something stupid. And we got out of the pool and we literally, the layout of the pool with all of the chairs and the lifeguard stand and everything where they were in the exact locations, we replicated that and put all of the furniture into the pool and like made it look like the outside layout inside of the pool.
Oh my.
So the pool was completely filled with all of this like outdoor furniture and chairs and lifeguard stands and the slide. Everything was inside of the pool. It was just bare concrete on top. Literally everything. And the second that we heard like sirens or that we heard like anything that sounded suspicious, obviously we were just like on edge because we were doing something wrong. We knew if we got caught, we'd be like, whatever. So we ran at the sound of anything suspicious. And thankfully we finished first and then we jumped the fences and left. The dude had locked us in with the gate. It was crazy.
Why would he lock y'all in?
Because he would get in trouble if he left it unlocked. So we were just like, yeah, just leave it locked. We'll jump the fence.
So you guys knew you had to hop the fence to get out of there.
Yeah. Okay. So we hopped the fence. We ran over to our buddy's place. You know, actually, Trevor March was there too. I'll shout out Trevor too. But we were just, you know, we ran. And then the next day, I think Blake Clark came up to us at the table at the beginning of I'm getting so many more flashbacks as I'm telling the story, dude. But anyways, Blake Clark came up to us and was just like, dude, I passed by the pool. They had a crane. They were trying to get everything out of the pool. And so we drove by and the pool was closed. Nobody could go into the pool because still had the crane up and they still had everything in the pool and tried to get it out. They had it out like a couple days later, but it was, we were proud of ourselves at that. We were just like, we did that. We caused some havoc. So there you go.
So one of my favorite memories of high school and something stupid that I would do. Like, a lot of the stuff that I would do in high school was revolved around two things. One, my car at the time, and two, music. Yeah. So in high school, I think it was, what was it? It was freshman year through junior year, I think. I drove a 1997 Nissan Maxima that was maroon with a spoiler.
And, it did have a spoiler. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
and the passenger side and driver side windows were forever stuck in the halfway position. So this meant two things. One, whatever weather it was outside, I'm feeling everything. Two, anyone could get into my car at any time. So this led to many things happening. Snow days, my car would be frozen and there'd be piles of snow in my car. Two, rain, I would be soaking wet constantly. also, people would just get into my car and hide and jump out and scare me all the time. Didn't you do that?
I did do that. That was one of the first times I hung out with the whole group together. We were all moving out as a group. It was towards the end of the school. We were all walking out into the parking lot at the back of the school, and you were talking with your girlfriend at the time, and like you like walked her to her car or something. And our friend Matt, he was like, "Hey, you should go get in the car." And I was like, "Yeah, you're so right, Matt." And then I got into your passenger side car, put the seat all the way down so I was laying down so you wouldn't see me. You get in the car. You actually don't see me while you're getting in the car. I don't know how you didn't see me. But you turned in, and then you turned, and you're looking straight through the wheel. And I was like, "Hey, Jason," you're like, "Whoa!" You got out of the car and just like, "Dude, what the frick was that?" Yeah,
that, and people would literally get into my car and hide in the back. And I would literally drive through the parking lot until I'm about to turn out of the high school parking lot until they would reveal themselves. So I'd have to turn all the way back and take them back to the car.
That's annoying, because if you know anything about the Colony High School parking lot in the back, when school ended, it was a god-awful line.
Oh yeah.
It took forever to get out of that parking lot. I hated it so much.
Okay, yeah, so you know that happened. There was a lot of dumb escapades in that car, but then also I remember when I first got my license in high school.
Oh.
I broke the law by having more than the maximum amount of people in my car.
I think everybody did that.
It was like the day after. I had like six or seven people in my car at one time. Yeah. Like there was not enough. It was terrible.
Well, you were the kind of the leader of that friend group. So.
I guess it was like everyone pile in. I have my license.
Yeah.
But one thing that we would do, so one of my favorite things to do in high school, and I would do this with my friend Matt, Jackson, a bunch of other people too. I would play guitar and I would just have my friends ad lib songs. You and I have done that before too. Like we've always done that.
All the time.
So I would literally just jam on an acoustic guitar and they would just start spitting like these rhymes and songs, and it would be freaking hilarious. But anyway, when I got my license, we wreaked havoc across the Colony, Texas. Oh. We would drive to the Taco Bell, Brahms, Rosa's drive-thrus, and I would just play guitar, and they would belt a random song to the drive-thru, and then we would just speed away. We wouldn't order anything at all. We would do that. And then Matt, you know, we mentioned him briefly. I don't know why we did this, but around midnight, a couple weekends, we would call friends up and be like, "Hey, are you home?" And when they would tell us yes, we would just hang up, like not tell them anything. But then we would drive to their house. Like this was like past like 12 a.m. We would throw rocks at their windows or knock at their door, and we would just serenade them. We would just play music. It was terrible. Yeah, and some people called the cops. Like other people, because we were being loud. We were being incredibly loud. They would call the cops. We would just run back into my car and just drive away.
Oh, dude, man. That's hilarious. There's one story that you told me about you and Matt that I think is just so hilarious. Wasn't there one time where Matt literally just said, "Get in the car, Jason"?
Oh my gosh.
And then he didn't tell you anything.
He tormented me.
What was that?
Okay, so yeah, to this day, I don't know why he did this or what the purpose of him doing this was.
We need to call him right now. Let's call him.
He's probably working.
Let me text him. Let me see if he's working. We'll call him. We'll see why he did that. We need to figure it out.
Well, anyway, he told me to get into his car, and I forget what actually happened, but I got into his car, and he was like, "Dude, like I need to take you somewhere." And he was like, "But I can't tell you where it is." I'm like, "What does this mean? Like, did my girlfriend put you up to this or something?" And he drove me around the Colony, and for some reason, like, we were doing donuts in the parking lot. And there's this one spot in the Colony. It's this back alley where there's a big dip where your car could literally, like, get stuck. Your car could get idle because the concrete is so uneven.
Yeah.
And we drove down that and, like, damaged his car by going in there for whatever dumb reason we got out. But he kept, like, being so cryptic about needing to take me somewhere and how he was like, talking in code the entire time. He was like, "You got to figure out."
Was he, like, rhyming? Was he, like, speaking in rhyme?
And he, like, wrote down, like, an acronym. He's like, "You have to figure out what this means, Jason, or you can't leave my car." And, like, we literally drove around the Colony, park at random places, get out, lay in the grass. He kept telling me to do all these things, and it ended up just being nothing. And then we just went out about our night. It was just ridiculous.
So he just literally led you on a goose chase. Like,
yeah, it made
literally
no sense.
Nothing.
Well, I think that started because for some reason, like, he thought there was a volleyball game at the high school at the time. because I think both of our girlfriends at the time were in volleyball. So he was like, hey, yeah, let's go to the volleyball game together. So we drove there, and there was not a volleyball game playing. So I think because he led me on to thinking that there was a game we're going to go to, he just made something up. That's what I think it was.
That's typical Matt.
Yeah, though. But I remember he was like, yeah, dude, let's go to our girls' volleyball game. And I was like, I'm pretty sure there's not a volleyball game. Like, I was just texting my girlfriend. I think she's at home. And then we drove to the high school anyway. But
dude, I really
it was weird.
I really want to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
I would figure it out. But as you were talking, I was thinking about, dude, there was always, every morning, there would be like my group of friends. It was the football guys, you know, that were, you know, hanging out. But we weren't like the jock guys, like the main football guys. It was kind of weird. We were like a subsection of the football people that like also did like skateboarding and, you know, hung out and did like crazy stuff. We would sit there and with our round tables at the Colony cafeteria, you know, and we would just sit there every morning. We always made a point to go there and just talk. I remember the most awkward conversation I have ever had with that group and the trainers at the high school. There was a few trainers that were kind of close with the guys. You know, we were friends and we weren't like romantic with them. We were just kind of like cool. Like they were hanging out with us. We never really hung out outside of school, but that when we were with the football program, you know, that we were always just joking around and laughing around. There's a guy named Alec Gibbons in high school. And this guy has no filter. He was cool. I mean, Alec was a cool guy to talk to, you know, and if he ever hears this, like, man, I hope you're doing good. Like, that's awesome for you. I see that you're riding your motorcycle everywhere. That's so cool. But he asked the girl trainers if they wipe their butt sitting down or standing up in while they use the bathroom. Going number two, obviously. But this started like this chain reaction of guys on the football team arguing about what was the best position to wipe yourself after using the bathroom.
Why do I remember this?
I don't think you were there.
No, I definitely was not there, but I remember the conversation.
Yeah. So now this is where it gets weird. The girls obviously answered. Which I was like, you're answering this question? Like, as a high school boy, I was like, ew, girls don't go number two. You know? It's like,
girls don't poop.
Girls don't poop. What are you talking
they
about?
Butterflies.
But anyways, like, the more and more people that heard this conversation would join the conversation in the cafeteria. There was at least a crowd of 50 to 60 people waiting for the bell to ring in the cafe area. They heard our conversation and how heated we were getting talking about this. Everybody gathered around our table. And there was like a line of division between that table of people who stood up when they wiped.
It's like there's a mic in a line of people left
and,
their turn.
Yeah, it's like people like pleading why their option was the best option. And I'll never forget that because it was just so awkward because girls chimed in and like it was so weird to me and I'll never forget that day.
So do you wipe sitting down or standing up?
All right, I'm gonna be, this is real time, Jason.
You don't wipe, do you? I freaking knew, dude. That's why you smell.
No, dude, if that's what underwear's for. No, I'm totally joking. No, you are more efficient if you stand up.
No.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, I've tried it.
You are more efficient and you have more, you cover more area when you stand up.
I'm going to need a diagram and some measuring tape.
I'll post it on Instagram. I'll make one so we can show everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be candid. I've tried standing up. It's just weird to me. Like,
Hashtag what? How do you poo at Temper Tangent?
Is that going to be the name of this podcast?
No.
How do you poo? Question mark.
No.
But I don't know. I guess that's a valid debate if anyone wants to chime in on that.
Oh, dude, it was just so
that's so
funny,
stupid.
Man.
Okay, like another stupid thing that I've done. way back then was throw water balloons at strangers. That seems like the stupidest thing to do.
It's hilarious.
So, like, I would do that. It was another dumb thing that Matt and I did. I remember for some reason his family, I was over at his place, and his family had water balloons, and we would fill them up. I don't know why we did. I think we were planning on pranking his dad. Mm-hmm. Or something. We're waiting for his dad to get back, and we're just gonna launch these balloons at him. And I think like his mom was in on it too, so it's not like we're just being stupid. But we were waiting and waiting, and his dad was just not coming home. And at this point, it was like 9:30, 10 p.m. at night.
Dad, where are you?
He said he was getting cigarettes, and he just never came back. I'm just joking. But so we were just waiting outside, and we were just hearing these neighbors down his street that were being loud, and they were smoking cigarettes, and it just stunk up like Matt's backyard. So we were like, you know what? Like, these guys are making us mad. Let's just go launch some balloons at them. So we filled up a couple, and we just gathered them, and we were kind of crouching in the night and like going over to their side, and we would like listen to them, and we would literally just like catapult these over the fence, mm-hmm. and we would hear the splash. And we heard them freak out, and we just ran back to their house.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. And we did that to a couple of other people, too. Like, we would hide in the bushes, and we would see people walking their dog, and we would just throw a balloon near them to where it would splash and scare them.
A warning shot.
Run off.
A warning shot.
Yeah, it was so stupid. And I remember in my neighborhood, we did that same thing, but with airsoft guns. And we got the cops called on us.
Dude,
bad.
That's bad.
Because, like, you know, in Texas, how they have, like, the back alleys because all the driveways are in the back of the home. We would like run through the alleys in the neighborhood to hide and like just like, well, we were doing it to like we had friends who were driving to our home. So when they were going to drive to us, we would, you know, pop some shots at their car, which was also stupid because we could ding it. But as we were running around the neighborhood, people would just hear us and look out their windows and see a bunch of guns. So they called the cops. And we luckily ran inside our house, and the cops were just kind of patrolling the neighborhood for that evening. But
dude, that is so bad. What if you like accidentally hit somebody? Like,
so I actually did do that, but that was in elementary school. So, okay, here's another story. So there's this really annoying chick on the bus when I lived in Oklahoma.
There's always one.
Yeah, there's always one. And she would just like, she was one of those girls that would just always mess with the boys. And of course the boys couldn't do anything because she was a girl.
Right.
But I remember one time she pulled my ear so hard that it hurt. Like, she was pulling on my ear so hard, she was using her body weight on my ear. Oh. Like, it felt like she was going to rip my ear off.
The frick?
So, and I was like, dude, this freaking girl, she's about to pay. So I gathered my boys. We all got our airsoft guns. And that day her family was having a garage sale. So she lived down the block from me, like adjacent, like the back of her house was adjacent to my home. So we went around, we turned the corner. Like, I created this whole operation. I literally wrote it down on a piece of paper.
Freaking Black Ops.
Yes. So we had some people go around the long way to go from the other side.
Yeah.
And me and another guy, it's actually a freaking funny, like cartoon.
This sounds like a literal like Stranger Things.
Like, code name Kids Next Door or something. Yeah. So like it was like this pincer strike, you know, it's like someone went from one side and we went from the other side. But I remember like we were like, they had bushes on both sides of their home. So like we were hiding behind one bush by their garage, and I could peer over the bush and see my other buddies on the other side by the bush. So like they were waiting for my mark to pop a shot.
There's like a movie scene going in my head right now.
So I gave them a mark, and the guy across from me popped off a shot. I actually got too scared to shoot. So they shot, missed our target, and hit the older sister. And the older sister was like, what the heck? And turned and saw me. And my other boys, who actually popped the shot, ran off. And as soon as the older girl hollered, dad came and grabbed me. And he was like talking to me like I was so scared. Like, I was just listening to him talk. Like, he thought that we were playing and accidentally caught his daughter in the crossfire when we were actually going for the younger sister. But while the dad was talking to me, I turned around and my buddy that was with me bailed. He ran off. So it was like a really funny moment of me knowing that he was behind me when the shot went off. But when dad came, he literally ran off.
You're like,
and left me there.
I'm all alone.
Yeah. So, and then I was telling him that it wasn't me. It was someone on the other side. And he turned and looked, and there was no one there because that guy also ran away. So I had to take the entire blame, even though I planned it. Like, everyone bailed on me. And I remember being so mad. Like he chewed me out and he told me to never do that again. And he said, if I do it again, he's gonna like talk to my parents. So I walked away. Like, he was livid because I shot his daughter and his daughter was hurting.
Dead on the ground, on the concrete.
Bleeding out. So I walked away to my buddies who like regrouped at my house. Yeah. And I was like, you guys freaking left me in the dust. Like, are you serious? I got in trouble.
What happened to No Man Left Behind?
Exactly. That's exactly how it was. Oh, dude. Man.
How long have you been going? I've got a story.
It's been about 35 minutes. Go ahead. About
35 minutes. Okay. Have you heard, have I ever told you this story about Outlandish Skate Co?
I don't think so.
No? Ever since I've been in like middle school, I've always had this obsession with being this business mogul, having a lot of money, and you know, that's still in me today. Like, that's something that I've always had. I always want to make money. I always want to have like some business venture. And right at the end of middle school and into freshman year of high school, my group of friends was really big into longboarding. As I think everybody was at that time, there was that longboarding group of guys. Those group of guys now are the open range biking, you know, surfing, you know, weed smoking guys. That's what they turned into, and they never really changed. But I got really big into it with my friend Trevor March. And we would go almost every weekend to the biggest hills we could find in the colony, over by like Meridian and all this other kind of stuff. And we would just like bomb these hills on our longboards. And we got pretty good. We did tricks. We did all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, me being like the money thirsty kid that I was like, Trevor, let's make a longboarding company. And we were like 13, 14, you know? And Trevor was like, yeah, dude, I can't do any of that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know how to be the business guy. So I'm just going to be like your front man and like be the guy that is really good at longboarding, and I'll be the sponsor guy. And I was just like, that works for me.
Oh my God.
And so cue the 80s montage of Isaac Hennepin sitting late night at his desk, drawing up logos, drawing up like how we could make money, drawing up how we would get like stuff. Me actually researching on Google how to start a company, doing all this kind of stuff at 13, 14, dude.
Nice.
And we named the company Outlandish.
Okay.
I don't know why we named it that, but there's actually a shirt somewhere that has it. You know that episode of The Office where Michael goes to his grandma to get a startup going for money, like get money from the startup, and he goes to the old home?
Yeah.
I literally pulled that, and I called my grandma. I said, Grandma, I'm going to start a company.
Is that God is in my mouth, Grandma?
Yeah, that's God is in my mouth,
Grandma. That's a reference if you've listened to a previous podcast.
Jenny Pearson. Love that lady. I called her up, and I was like, Grandma, I'm going to start this company, but I don't know how to do it.
I need a small loan.
It's like, I need a small loan. And she was just like, all right, honey, how much do you need? She sent me like $200.
Nice.
I thought that was a lot for what I needed to do. What did I do with that money? Obviously, boom, t-shirts, advertising, go. And we made stickers. We made our own stickers.
Wow.
Like you had to print off a piece of paper. You had to reverse print it so it was backwards. You had to outline it with on the back with masking tape, clear masking tape, and do the other end with clear masking tape. And it's still on my longboard today at the house somewhere. But we made our own makeshift like stickers, and we passed them out, and we did like people were like holding on to them and putting them on their boards. It was cool. We were getting some traction, and all of it stopped. All of it stopped the second that I heard. I hope he's never going to hear this. And I do hope that they hear this, because I want them to know that they destroyed a dream. Andrew Tuma.
Yeah.
Tyler Linthicum and Alec Gibbons. And I think Scout and a few other guys. They found out that I was doing this with Trevor around freshman year. And they're just like, dude, that is so stupid. They're never going to take off with this, and they're never going to do anything. They're not even good longboarders, blah, blah, blah. And I heard that in the hallway. And then instantly, my dream died.
Ouch.
And then that's when Outlandish Skate Code died. And we never got anywhere, but it was so fun because we spent that entire summer doing that kind of stuff.
Wow.
It was actually pretty fun. Granted,
what were they doing at the time? Nothing. And what are they doing now? Nothing.
I'll let you take the heat on that one, buddy.
Go ahead. I don't care.
But you guys ruined my life. You ruined my dream. But look at me now.
Oh, well.
But look at me now.
Still dreamless.
Still dreamless with a beach house.
Ding, ding. All right. Well, you know what? That's enough reminiscing for one day. Thank you guys for, I guess, being patient. And if you're listening, welcome back.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to podcast next weekend, but next weekend is Geography Joel's birthday.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Big 22 for that man. He is going to be at least taking the amount of his age in drinks.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. I'm joking.
He can't handle it.
He can only handle three.
He would implode.
Shout out to him, and thanks for listening to us, guys. Sorry that we haven't been, you know, doing it a lot recently, but we're gonna get back in the saddle again. We'll keep it going.
Yep, we'll try him. He's been Isaac.
He's been Jason, and we still have to figure out what is the best way to poo. Goodbye.
Sure. Hot Mulligan, play us out.